Fred Film Radio, Tribeca Film Festival, New York City.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori at Tribeca Film Festival 2019. Film festivals have lately been taking on activist issues of gender and race. Robert De Niro is making his festival the most activist yet. And today we are here with Wei Gu, director of A Woman's Work. Good morning, Wei.
Good morning.
And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
This movie is not only showing one of the most recognizable symbols of America, but also one of the most universal problems, lower pay for women. How did you come across this situation and decide to make a movie about it?
Yeah, so actually I came across this subject matter and really fell in love with it as a foreigner, actually, myself, because I was born in China and raised in Canada. I'm Canadian. So I just, again, like you said, it's such a football and cheerleaders are such icons of American culture. And as someone who immigrated from Canada to America, I really fell in love with that world because it's a huge spectacle and it brings so many people together that would never otherwise come together. The only thing that I could think about in my experience in China was when, you know, you had these big political movements or political rallies, you know, the Cultural Revolution, when you have tens of thousands of people coming together. But, you know, in America, every Sunday, over 80,000 people, you know, in every city across the, you know, United States come together and watch the spectacle of football, and these cheerleaders are on the field performing, dancing for the entire time. And so when I found out the fact that, you know, they were paid less than minimum wage, or some cheerleaders were not paid at all, it really sort of burst my bubble as an immigrant to this country. And I think for me, as an immigrant, I want to contribute to making this society, making this my home, and having this society reflect the values that, you know, would help me and, you know, help other people as well in terms of equality and respect and equal pay. So that's why I fell in love with this story.
You show in the movie how many hours of training are required to be a cheerleader at that level. Mm-hmm. Why do you think all this work is not recognized by the NFL?
I think there's so many factors that lead to this work being devalued. I think on a bigger level, on a macro level, it's just fundamentally that our society is sexist. I mean, fundamentally, it's about misogyny and devaluing women, not just work, but in every aspect of our lives. And so that translates into this space, the world of football. And I think in football too, you know, the men are the main players on the field. They're out there playing their hearts out, you know, and they have also struggled with having their labor valued, right? Because, as you can see, predominantly the players are African American and the owners are almost all white male billionaires. So in so many ways, it's a perfect allegory for the issues and it's the foundation of American culture and society.
Absolutely. Where did you find Lucy and Maria? I would guess it was not easy following them through this long journey.
I first got in contact with Lacey's lawyers in Oakland. They're this all-female firm of lawyers that specialize in employment law. So I got in contact with them, introduced myself, and they agreed to set up a meeting with me and Lacey. So I went up to Oakland from Los Angeles and met with Lacey. I didn't know what to expect because I personally, you know, I don't know anything about cheerleading. I never grew up with dance or anything like that. So I was a little nervous that we would have nothing in common. But actually, we had a lot in common. We both grew up in these working-class families where our mothers did, you know, worked full time outside of the house and worked full time inside the home as well. So, and we understood the value of hard work, and, you know, we put in the hours to achieve our dream, you know, whether it was dance or filmmaking. So from there, you know, that's where it all started with Lacey. And Maria, we also got in touch with her lawyers and we went to Buffalo and met her. And for her, it was a little bit difficult because I, you know, so far away from me where I was living in Los Angeles. So this film took about 4 years to make, but I think our relationship didn't really start deepening until maybe year two of me following her and filming with her.
And also because her situation was very dramatic, because
exactly.
She was like actually losing her mom.
Yes, exactly. And she was facing so many changes in her life, whether it was personal with her mom, her breast cancer coming back, or with a lawsuit where she faced intense backlash from her very small community in Buffalo. So I think there was a lot of at stake for her, you know, so yeah. A lot of things that she was fearful of. And so I think for me, it just took a long time for her to trust me, but I'm happy that she did.
You talk about the lawyers. One of the most important messages in your movie mm-hmm. is that alongside the condition of the workers in the United States, particularly women, there is the strong belief that you can stand for what you think is right. Mm-hmm. After talking with the employment attorney, what is your impression about the system? Are the workers still too weak compared to the employers?
I would say yes. In this country that, and especially in recent years, I think the power of workers has gone down, whereas the power of employers, of corporations, has increased. I think you can see that just following this film, you can see that in the legal system, in the legal process, where you have Lacey had an arbitration clause in her contract, which said if you have any issues, this case has to be arbitrated in front of Roger Goodell, who is the NFL commissioner, which is a completely unfair clause to have. And most employment contracts have some kind of arbitration clause where it really takes your case outside of the main legal system, outside the court, and hires this third party as an arbitrator who is mostly white and male. So, you know, a lot of workers are not going to have a due process, a fair process through that. And I think something that you said really struck a chord with me because, you know, coming from China, where my family, we left China because of, you know, the tyranny of that society, of that system. And America, in many ways, for many people still, you know, around the world, is supposed to be a symbol of democracy and fairness and justice. And so I think through this process of making this film, I understand that we have a long way to go.
Yes. While you were shooting the movie, did you have the impression that the trial was going nowhere?
I think that when you see this, for me, the film is about this David and Goliath battle.
Absolutely.
So I think when you see I really came to understand the tactics of the Goliath in many ways in terms of the legal system, where they have unlimited money to hire lawyers and time on their side so they can, you know, ask for motions or demands in the legal system as much as they want. And it really in overall didn't further the case in many ways. And, you know, they didn't have as much to lose as these women. So, yes, in many ways, it was it is a very slow process. For Maria, her case is still ongoing.
Before the end of the shooting, the situation for cheerleaders was changing all over the country. Do you have any updates?
Yes. So in terms of Oakland Raiders, the Raiderettes, which is the team that Lacey worked for, they are now paid proper minimum wage at the minimum, and they do get increases every year. They paid for all the hours that they worked. So that is at least something where they can say they're above the law now. You know, they're
it's the minimum of an artist.
Yes. Really? It's really the minimum. And so, of course, that's not enough. You know, it's not a living wage. And other teams across the country have also, you know, changed their policies, but not publicly, sort of secretly behind the scenes, they've changed their policies to make everything legal in the minimum way. And then in California, which this is also actually in the film, but there is a law that passed that says that any professional team in California has to treat their cheerleaders as employees. So that means also medical benefits. That means, you know, paying for overtime, all the benefits that an employee worker would have, they have to have. But again, that's hard to enforce. You know, it's one thing when you have that law, you can fall back upon later if the law is broken, but it's hard to enforce that, you know, across the country. And in 2018, there were a couple of more lawsuits that came out. One of them is with Bailey Davis and the New Orleans Saints and her lawyer, Sarah Blackwell. And they alleged gender discrimination. And Sarah was able to talk to some representatives from the NFL because their goal is really to, you know, change the working conditions and change the culture of cheerleaders across the country. And, you know, but at the same time, there's been very little movement on the part of the NFL to really adopt league-wide policies in a public way, like to say, okay, we are going to change this. This is how it's going to be different. It's still very much, okay, well, each team is a responsibility of, you know, the team themselves. themselves. It's not a responsibility of the league. So it's definitely very slow. There's changes, but it's still very slow. And the biggest issue, I think, is that women are not coming together. They're not standing with each other because there's current cheerleaders who, you know, still disagree with these lawsuits and sort of are fighting against these women who are actually trying to help them. So I think that's one of the biggest
losing
issues.
Everything, by the way.
Yeah, because, exactly.
You know, they lose the job that they love.
Yeah, exactly. Losing their job, losing, you know, a place in their communities to fight for them. And so I think that's the biggest thing that really I hope people wake up to.
Women's work will be at Tribeca Film Festival Saturday 27th. Congratulations not only for the amazing movie, but for the astonishing cinematography. Thank you to Wee Gu for being with us today, and thank you for the movie, which will inspire so many people to stand for their rights in the workplace. I'm Samantha Sartori from Tribeca Film Festival 2019, New York, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.